Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I'm here with Josh today.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about how to rig an election. This is something, like, we're not going to be talking about any specific election, right? Not necessarily. I think everyone's going to be expecting us to talk about one election in particular, but we're not going to do that.
We'll touch on some of the controversies and possible
I'm sure we'll touch on it, but this is not going to be focused solely on that. We're going to be talking more broadly, I guess, about what you can do and what is possible to be done. And I should say also in the beginning that just by talking about it doesn't mean we endorse it. We don't endorse any of this. So
it's not a call to arms or a call to action. It's just informing you how it works and how it's done, more to avoid it than anything, not to actually do it yourself.
So this is just a preamble because we're on the internet, so we need to say these things, right?
And also with the US election stuff, if you've not been keeping track, Dominion are suing basically anyone who's said a bad word about them.
Are they?
So I am avoiding that like the plague.
Oh yeah, that's it's probably a good idea.
So I have very real reasons not to want to talk about that.
Okay, so well, can you tell us how to rig an election?
Well, I was going to start with just some amusing results of elections. So in 1927, for example, the president of, the presidential election of Liberia, there were 15,000 registered voters, and for some weird reason, I couldn't possibly put my finger on it, the winner won with 243,000 votes.
Oh.
I mean, how could this happen? It's almost like he rigged the election. And in 2004, in the Ukrainian elections, voters in opposition areas to the government were given pens to mark their ballot papers with disappearing ink, which is like the behaviour of an evil genius.
Just like cartoons.
Yeah. I thought that was particularly amusing. And in 2013, the elections in Azerbaijan, the dictator accidentally released the results of the election the day before the actual election was set to take place.
Sad.
So this is the kind of thing that, you know, it's clearly, obviously, over the line in rigging an election, but there are far more nuanced things where you can say, okay, it probably is going to have a minor effect, but it's not going to change the final outcome. Yeah. And there'll be a lot of that.
And I suspect that you chose these examples in the beginning just to show to what extent it can go. And also that these cases are quite clear that there's no possible way in which you could argue that was not rigged. Right? And so I think most election rigging kind of efforts or methods won't yield results like that, where you can say, well, this is 100% what happened. Most of the time you'll be able to say, well, it looks like something's fishy, something might have happened, or like it really looks like that, but we can't prove it 100% because it's not something like this. It's not like that candidate won with more votes than the total votes that were supposed to be cast, right?
Absolutely. And there are some cases that I've got here where it is obvious that, you know, they were trying to affect the result explicitly. And I'll move on to some of the topics. So I've broken it down into lots of different topics or subtopics, which I think are relatively intuitive. Mm-hmm. And the first one I thought about touching on was artificial migration. So do you have any idea what that might mean?
So I know that was something that was also talked about in the last US election a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's basically, if you have a federation and you have multiple states where you can vote or places where you can vote, then your vote, your right to vote, is based on where you live. And then if you can pretend that you don't live where you live and that you actually live elsewhere, and you can do that at the same time while still living somewhere else, you can vote twice in the two jurisdictions. And if you want to rig an election, you can kind of incentivize people to do that on a large scale. So I don't know if that's what she meant, but I know that this is a thing.
It's more or less people being moved or moving of their own free will to a place or an electoral district to produce a foregone result. So to a lesser extent, you probably saw this in all of the Democrats fleeing California. This wasn't a deliberate attempt, I'm suggesting, but just a similar or comparable thing where they fled like rats fleeing a sinking ship and went to places like Texas, where the election was actually relatively close if you take the result at face value.
And that's also happening even more now after the election. In the past half year,
mm-hmm.
there were a lot of Californians that have been moving. There's been books written about it. I wrote an article actually about that. I think it's premium, so.
But you should be able to watch it if you're watching this.
True, true.
Oh, watch it, read it.
Okay, so this is mm-hmm. something. This is something that's not just, well, you say artificial migration, but if people are moving from California to Texas,
that's
because
not
of political
really
reasons,
artificial, is it?
That's mm-hmm. it's artificial. Let's say from the kind of voting perspective, when you say, well, people here should mm-hmm. vote here and people there should vote there, and then you kind of like it's all kind of mixing up. Then you can say, well, that's not natural, but it is an actual movement because you can move and then your voting place changes.
Well, yeah. I just mentioned that because it's the easiest way of kind of understanding how it works, logistically speaking. Yep. But many countries have laws that prevent, the state artificially migrating people. And in fact, we have one in the UK which convicted someone in the 80s for this. So there's a case, it's known as the Homes for Votes scandal. And this was in the marginal constituency of Westminster in the UK. Ironic as well, because of course Westminster is where Parliament actually is. Yep. So it's all the more egregious. But a former Conservative leader of the council in Westminster, Dame Shirley Porter, was found guilty of willful misconduct after deliberately moving the homeless outside of the constituency and then selling all the council houses, well, probably not all of them, but a decent portion of them, to groups more likely to vote Conservative. And she was found to be deliberately doing so to win the constituency. And
Did they need to do that? I mean, Westminster is always blue.
I don't know. Probably not. It was probably really unnecessary. But they were convicted because, of course, this is illegal in most countries, artificially manipulating the population just so you can win votes. I mean, you can argue that perhaps gerrymandering and moving the electoral boundaries is a form of doing this in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's kind of got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, of course, like gerrymandering is a real thing. And if you look mm-hmm. at the gerrymandered maps, like it's ridiculous. And you can see that
States,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can see that it has been done with a certain goal in mind. Like mm-hmm. it's not been done just naturally like that. Or most convenient. It's not the most convenient thing to do. It's just like sprawling everywhere. And just like,
I've seen maps of certain cities where they've got like a long oblong that extends into the city that's really long and thin. And you're just like, how on earth is that?
Exactly.
Anything, but it just encapsulates all of the voters of a specific voting block.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with you, and it's clear that it needs to be done somehow. If you mm-hmm. have an increase or decrease or population shifts around, you need to adjust the voting constituency so that there's a similar size, mm-hmm. right? And so it needs to be done, somehow, but if it reaches kind of specific proportions where it just looks ridiculous to everyone, well, it's clear that something's going on. And of course I have no idea how to fix it because someone needs to do it, so mm-hmm. but you can see that something's wrong. So it's a type of election rigging, I'd say.
I don't know, it's kind of close to the line either way, so it's a matter of debate, isn't it? Immigration, of course, could be a form of kind of artificial manipulation, in that you could just before an election say, okay, we're going to get loads of people in from a poor country and then they'll vote for the left-wing candidate. So perhaps in the United States, where they're saying, oh well, we want lots of Mexicans and South Americans to come to the States, or the Democrats saying that, well, they have a vested interest in saying so because they're going to most likely vote Democrat. Whereas they're not trying to encourage the Cubans to come over because they vote Republican because they've lived under socialism. So another good example, also Labour and Islam. They love importing people from Islamic countries because they always vote Labour for some reason. So there we go.
So this is something that I found particularly like weird, because you would expect countries to kind of have this covered a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone immigrates into a country, well then for them not to be able to vote at least straight away, right? Because it's different when you've lived there for a couple of years or all your life than if you just moved. And there's also differences of why you moved there, like whether it was for studying, working, or whether you've been invited by someone, or you just like looking for something better, whether you actually bought a house there or you're just renting or something like that, right? And so loads of issues and loads of differences between people who end up moving somewhere. And so I can't see like the reason why it seems bizarre to me that a country would, one party in a country would be like, yeah, I'm going to invite everyone over in like a month for them to vote. Like, mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit more subtle than that.
I know, but why can that be a thing, right? Why?
Well, there should ideally be laws in place where you say, well, maybe after you've been here for 5 years, you can vote. And then you're clearly there with intentions to stay long term. I suppose 5 years is already kind of long term, isn't it?
In that Texas immigration article that I wrote, mm-hmm. someone commented saying, so I'm just going to paraphrase, but they said that, well, if you live in, I was talking about whether people who move to Texas mm-hmm. should be allowed to vote straight away, or whether they should be kind of given time to wonder why. Where they used to be, why they don't want to be there anymore, why they want to come to Texas, right? And so someone commented saying, well, if you are born in Texas, there's an 18-year waiting period before you can vote. So why not make it the same for the newcomers as well?
I think that would be a bit difficult. I mean, 20 years almost is a long time.
It is a long time.
18. So I think that's a bit far, but there should be some degree of...
I just thought it was an interesting way to put it, because mm-hmm. like if you're born there, you wait 18 years, so why not make it equal, you know, equity and inclusivity and things like that. So
I actually have a good example of a country kind of granting citizenship to immigrants purely for political reasons. So in Malaysia in the 1990s, there was something that began known as Project IC. I don't know what IC stands for. I couldn't find out anywhere. I'm guessing it's something in Malaysian that I'd never be able to understand. So it gave citizenship to Filipino and Indonesian immigrants to the state of Sabah in order for the ruling party to dominate in the state where it had otherwise not.
Mm-hmm.
And votes in Malaysia were heavily predicted by ethnic lines, and therefore they knew beforehand that they were going to vote a certain way.
Right.
And
right.
therefore, in granting citizenship to these two groups of people, then they were basically guaranteeing more voters in that constituency.
So if voting follows demographics in some way, and you know that something is going to happen, you can rig an election by changing legislation just before the election.
Yes.
For you to change the outcome. Yeah.
Exactly. And this example is kind of a bit different. It's an election for a political party's leader. And again, it's the UK. There are quite a few examples. I was looking online and there are so many examples of election rigging in the UK. It's unbelievable.
What it tells you is that in the UK, people rig elections badly because they get caught.
That's a fair point, yeah. We always catch people rigging elections, thankfully. So in 2015, as I'm sure many people will remember, the Labour Party was electing a new leader, and there was a push by Conservatives for actual Conservatives to join the Labour Party and vote for Jeremy Corbyn because he was seen as the most radical
mm-hmm.
and therefore the easiest to beat.
Yep.
And he did win in the end, and it was the worst defeat for, I don't know, was it 40 years or so for the Labour Party?
I think even more, right?
It may well have been. It could have been the worst in history. But I know at least 1983 is the other significant defeat for Labour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only one that I can remember as far back on. But
I know that in the last election, people were saying, like, yeah, it's a worst outcome for for Labour since like the 30s or something like that, right? But that wasn't the 2015 election, that was the 2019.
This is the leadership one anyway. So right, once Corbyn got in, he then had to stand for the election. So that is the same one you're on about.
Yeah, okay.
So the examples I can give are that there was a trend on Twitter. I kind of have to say it with a bit of scorn because who cares about Twitter? But Toby Young basically was trying to encourage people. He's, if you recognise the name, he's of Free Speech Union fame, I suppose. And obviously they do great work. But he was encouraging people to vote for Corbyn, who were Conservatives. Just probably as a bit of a laugh, I imagine. However, I think the actual influence of the Conservative infiltrators, it wasn't a deciding factor. There wasn't appetite for Corbyn within the Labour Party without people infiltrating the party and subverting it.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.